So good to be together this morning, guys. Today is a special morning in our summer. It's the last Sunday of the summer, and we get to spend time, we get to spend time remembering and celebrating all that God has done this summer. And we're going to do that in a variety of different ways. One of them being musical worship, which we've already been doing. We get to hear stories, two-minute stories from each of the trips this morning that we're excited about. We get to watch some recap videos to visually remember how epic the trips that we went on were. And ultimately, this morning is a celebration of what God has done. Because in this room, we all represent different things that went on this summer. Even if you weren't directly involved, the different things we were doing this summer, God has been at work. And we want to acknowledge that this morning. And not just this morning, but every day. So this is a practice that we get to do together as a community, as a junior high and high school overflow family. We get to practice remembering and celebrating our God, which is awesome. So to start this morning, I'm going to start sharing a little bit about junior high summer, and then Jess is going to come up and share about high school summer, and in the mix of it, we'll hear stories and watch some videos. Sound good? Sweet. So junior high, well, let me start with this. The purpose of summer, when we look at summer, the four of us, Cameron, Jess, Chad, and I, we want summer to be a time of fun, which is really important, right? Fellowship, being together, getting to know one another, and diving deeper into our relationship with God. And everything we do provides space for those things. If you were around this summer, you know that we had a lot of fun. Junior high, we did things like beach days. How many of you guys went to beach day on Fridays? Yeah. How many of you guys went, who in here went to every single beach day in the summer? Besides Lexi and Cameron. Okay, Brogan went to every single one. Yeah, give it up for Brogan. Beach days were epic. We went down to 74th Street, which if you didn't know that was a street, it is. It's the very end of Newport. And don't tell anyone, but they never blackball. So you can surf all day, which is awesome. We got to do that. We dug holes. We hung out. It was epic. We then had some Wednesday night bonfires. Did you guys go to any bonfires? Did anyone go to both bonfires? Okay, a lot of us. It was awesome. We played Sand Jumanji Flag, which was epic. We did Jailbreak, a classic, right? Summer classic, Jailbreak. All of you that think you're cool and throw Jailbreak after one person is out and then you get out, you know who you are. But those were really fun. So all the Wednesday night summer nights, we did summer skate night, 70s skate night, which was awesome. And we all dressed up. And I'm pretty sure Joey is unrecognizable over here on the far to my left, but that was epic, and we got to skate together and enjoy that. We did a dodgeball night, which was really fun, and some people got hit in the face. I hit Lexi in the stomach and knocked the wind out of her. We ate hot dogs. It was awesome. But we did a lot of things together, and again, the whole purpose was to create memories together, have fun, have fellowship. And at the beginning of the summer, we have a trip that we like to call houseboats. Yep. Now, for those of you in junior high and high school, just give me, by a show of hands, how many of you have ever been on a houseboat trip? Okay. A lot of us have been on a houseboat trip. For those of you that haven't, you did miss out, but it's okay. We still love you. Houseboats is an epic trip, and God continues to use houseboats in amazing ways like he does a lot of our camps. But houseboats, we get away for a week way too far up north to a place called Bullyard's Bar. It's a weird name for a lake, but it's awesome. And we get to go and live together on five epic houseboats in really close quarters and enjoy each other and spend a week diving deeper into our relationship with God. And this year, Ryan Zellner, our very own Ryan Zellner, he taught on what it means that Jesus is the light of the world, that he came to vanquish the darkness and to free us from darkness and forgive us of our sins and give us new life in the light. And he talked about that. But as we finished, his call to us is ultimately Jesus' call in Matthew, where he's speaking to his disciples and he says, I am the light of the world, but now you are the light of the world. So go out into the world and show the light that others would see you and what you do, how you love, and they'd ultimately look back and see Jesus. And that's what we talked about, and it was epic. So before we get into two-minute stories, we've got a little recap video of the trip. All right, give it up for Houseboat. I was like wanting more. I was like waiting for the next scene. With that, what an epic trip, you can see by that. But the most epic thing is what God did in us, not just what we did. So with that, I'm going to invite Kate Jabello up to share her two-minute story.
The air whipped through my hair and the water sprayed my face. I could hear Olivia screaming at the top of her lungs as we swerved in and out of the wake. Jump after jump, our hands began to slip until we were not able to pull ourselves back up. This situation is similar to our lives most of the time. Problems hit us trying to knock us off. They loosen our grip with God and weaken our relationship, but there's a way to hold on, although there will always be a few bumps in the road. When we began getting pulled out of the wake, the safe place for a nice and steady ride, we would lean the opposing way. For example, the boat begins pulling us out towards my side. We lean towards Olivia. When life begins to get hard, I learned this trip that you just have to learn, lean away. Whether that's in spending one-on-one time with God or just taking a few moments to praise him and worship. When you fall off the tube and momentarily lose that connection with God, all it takes is a small swim over and you can get back on.
Thank you, Kate. And now, Miss Taylor Zellner, come on up. You're speedy.
House boats changed me with scripture, songs, and so much fun. I really enjoyed this trip. I felt so close to God, and I wanted to love him more. There was wakeboarding, tubing, dead man's chest, skits, storytelling, and I loved every part of it. During the trip, I have met some new people that I've got to know more about. I had an amazing time trying new things every day, and I'm so happy to be there. I also love seeing my dad speak and that he was there to comfort me as well as other people. I want to thank all of the leaders, skippers, captains, and everybody for helping houseboats take me into more about Christ. Verses 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8 of Psalm 62 I love because it communicates that God is my rock and salvation.
Love it. That was houseboats. So much fun. Thank you guys for sharing. With that, high school, you guys were busy this summer, and Jess is going to come up to share about it.
Yes, Jess. That was the best intro I've ever had. Thank you, John Crasper. Well, hey, high schoolers, we had summer hangouts at the beach. We had like a million of them, it feels like. All night movie night. Who stayed up all night? Like legitimately all night. That makes me sick to my stomach. Ugh, I hate that. But we also had three trips this summer. And our very first trip, while most of us were at houseboats, myself included being at houseboats, we had a group of about 12 of us head down to San Diego for a very secretive trip called Leadership Development Retreat. And at LDR, you guys learned that leaders are interested in blank. Leaders are interested in inspiring others. Leaders are interested in history. Leaders are interested in others. And at LDR, all we did was help you guys understand that you're leaders. You don't have to be in student leadership team. You don't have to be in FCA leadership to be a leader. But you yourself as a believer are a leader. And so what does it look like to engage others and to lead others as you yourself are learning more and more about who you are in Christ? You guys did some really fun things that I don't even know about, which is super cool. You guys figured out how to get onto the surf liner and get down to San Diego. You went to a concert with that lady, I'm assuming is the performer, Eli. Give me a yes. Great. Okay. She was a performer. And you guys just experienced what leaders could be interested in. You guys went to the Midway and learned about history. And so LDR is an invite-only trip that we do, and we usually invite 10 to 12 students to come and just pour into them as leaders. And so this is for freshmen. Not just freshmen. This is for high schoolers. Freshmen to junior year. So going into your senior year, you guys can be a part of this. And so this is something we do once a summer, and it's just a really quick trip, 3 days. And we don't have a video because it was so quick. But that takes us into our next trip. We went to Berkeley this summer as well as part of our immersive experiences with Maven. And in Berkeley, what we do is we have conversations with atheists. We take 6 months to study what atheism is and how our Christian worldview just goes against that, and what the Bible says and what science says and what history says about the validity and the truth of Christianity. And so we have a quick video to show you guys what we did. So as you guys saw, we just engaged people. And we have 2 stories. We have John and Olivia to come on up and share their 2-minute stories. So John, come on up.
During the 2018 Berkeley Immersive Experience, I got to have many discussions with many people. Yet my personal hesitation almost cost me the most important part of my trip. Coming into this immersive experience, I was ecstatic to talk to people with opposing views. After all, it is an apologetics trip. With every test and reading assignment, my excitement grew. But unfortunately, so did my nerves. The day we first arrived at the Berkeley campus, I still had that excitement. But it was when it came to the beginning and the conversation, my nerves appeared again. And after each rejection, my hesitation to start a conversation grew. I missed out on many conversations that day. That night, my prayer was for me to not hesitate and be able to put a stone in someone's shoe, which means to leave them interested in a topic such as God after conversation is over. The next day on Berkeley's campus, I had a great discussion with 2 men about the Lord, and after it was over, I felt confident. Yet we found a new person to ask, and I saw she was doing work. I thought I knew best, and I thought she would not be able to talk. I was afraid of rejection. Then I just felt a wave of courage pass over me, and I asked her if she would like to talk. We and Samar, that was the name of the girl, had a great conversation, and she ended up wanting to know more. So we got to send her the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. We had put a stone in Samar's shoe. This experience truly humbled me, because even though I thought I knew best, God proved me wrong and gave me the courage to talk to Samar. This reminded me of 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to. Give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I was reminded of the importance of this throughout the entire experience. Though I hesitated, the Lord gave me the strength to share God's truth. And he reminded me, no matter what I think is best, he knows better.
Thanks, John. Olivia.
As the clock reached 9 a.m., I frantically looked for a bag to pack my stuff. I had to be at church by 10 a.m. to leave for Berkeley, and I wasn't ready for the week ahead. As the days leading up to the trip went on, my hesitation became greater. I was tired, both physically and emotionally, from trips and events before, and I was not looking forward to become even more tired. Our first conversation with an atheist, David, brought up many questions and ideas I had not thought of before. Leaving that conversation was unsettling, as I had many unanswered questions. As we continued to talk with students on Berkeley's campus and other atheist speakers, I found myself asking more and more questions. However, not having immediate answers to these questions was hard, as I am someone who always wants answers. Reading James 1:2-4, which says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you find trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Reminded me that unsettling feeling I had was good and showed God working through me. This also gave me the desire to look for answers to my questions and continue to seek truth in everything I do. Even though I did not want to be challenged on this trip, God did so in such a beautiful way. He knew I was distant from him and used this trip as an opportunity for me to put my trust completely in him. This taught me how perfect he is in everything he does and how he is able to meet me exactly where I was at.
Thanks. So like I said earlier, this is one of 3 immersive experiences that we have. We go to Utah and we study Mormonism. Berkeley with atheism, and then we finish it with our worldview road trip, which we're doing next year, which just talks about our Christian worldview influencing and playing out in everything that we do as Christians. And finally, our last trip of the summer, which is so much fun, is House Hume Lake. You guys, it's Sunday. Man, what a Sunday it is. We went to Hume Lake, which is both Ponderosa and Wildwood. And we're going to talk about Wildwood first. Wildwood is our discipleship camp where you have to be a graduating sophomore. And it's our only trip that grads can go on for summer camp. So graduating sophomore to graduate. And this is where we just take you deeper. Deeper in a more theological topic, deeper in what you do. We do harder GIs, except our GI this year at Ponderosa was pretty crazy. And this year they looked at unity. Their theme was break bread and what does it look like to be united as a body of Christ. And our first story for Wildwood is Miss Alyssa Cairns.
Okay, mine is called The Power of Love. This week at Wildwood, I learned that I am loved. Not only am I loved by the creator of the universe, but I am loved by the people around me. In the past, I have often believed the lies the devil has whispered into my ear, lies that I could not have community with the church and that I am alone. But the Lord calls us to be in community with one another. Romans 12, 3 through 5 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith of God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, through many, form one body. As each member belongs to the others, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." So, this verse says that each member of the church is irreplaceable. Each person has been blessed with a God-given gift. The church cannot function correctly without each member, just like how a body cannot function correctly without eyes or a mouth. I have been blessed with the gift of listening. I care deeply about the feelings and struggles of the people around me. After this trip, I realized the importance of community in the church. God tells us to first love Him and then love the people around us. By being vulnerable and loving the people around me, I am able to learn more about what it means to be in community and to trust others. Most importantly, I know that I am loved.
Thanks, Alyssa. That was a great story. And Matt McMillan, where are you at? He is finishing out our Wildwood stories.
My story is called Love and Unity. I thought I knew all I could about God's love before I came up to Wildwood. I didn't. This week's Wildwood theme was unity, specifically unity among the body of the church. As Matt Berg spoke on the power of unity, it was not until an activity Tuesday night that I grasped fully what he was saying. On Tuesday, all of Wildwood was driven down to Ponderosa to lay hands on and pray over the chapel. That night, me and Peter Larson cried and prayed our hearts out over the strangers inside, fully allowing, quote, the Holy Spirit to intercede for us with groanings too deep for words, Romans 8:26. Afterwards, all of Wildwood debriefed with such honesty and vulnerability, allowing all of us to unify together in our weaknesses. Then we entered into an intimate time of worship under the stars while unpacking what every line in the song Reckless Love actually meant. It was an incredible night of the Spirit, and God's love was shown through unity. As we drove back up in silence, I kept hearing the word love in my head, and it hit me. I finally understood the passage we had studied all week, Colossians 3:14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. I realized that unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ is actually the greatest love, and that God had revealed even more of himself to me that week.
Thanks, Matt. So as you guys heard through those stories, They talked about unity and what does it look like to come together as a church body to continue to love and grow together and serve each other, which kind of goes hand in hand with what we talked about down at Ponderosa, just about the entirety creation to Christ of God's love for us and how he has continually redeemed us throughout just the history of the world. And so Chris Brown just did the most, I think, applicable analogy that he could have done about entering in to our relationship with Christ is similar to going to Disneyland. And, you know, someone can be so excited to go to Disneyland and they get their ticket and they walk in and they sit at the gate. And then they go and they tell their friend, like, yeah, it was cool. It was fine. But they didn't experience the fullness of the park. They didn't go on the rides. They didn't get the cotton candy. They didn't go to the red trolley to get the corn dog, which is the best. They didn't get a Dole Whip. They just sat at the gate. And how often do we as believers enter into a relationship with Christ, but we don't live in the fullness that he has given us, and the fullness of his love and truth that comes from him? And so our first story is Jacob Hallman. Oh my gosh, we didn't do the video. No, Jacob, stay here. We're switching it up, you guys.
Hello. Mine's Brick Taker. So heartbreak and took me this past year, and pride was holding me back from my father. As I can't explain all the pain, but I can say how the pain was lifted. As I reflect on this past week at Hume, my favorite part was the GI, since it was reflecting my life. As I held two bricks in a wingspan, as sweat and pain came to my body, waiting to relieve the bricks that were hurting, as no person can take my bricks, only if I lay them in the right position as a group with our church. As we finish all the bricks that we held formed into a cross, as I reflected on the cross, this is what it said: "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burdens is light." Matthew 11:28-30. This verse is ultimately what God was challenging me, because since I was holding my bricks As a day goes by, I talk to a leader. I had decided to humble myself before my APA because I know that I cannot take the pain and burdens from me, even though this might take my issues, but I now know who has them and who controls my burdens.
Thanks, Jacob. And Emma is our last two-minute story. Emma was the very last person to sign up for camp, so it only makes sense that she is our very last two-minute story today.
Mine is called God's Power to Change. How is camp? It's difficult to put such a powerful experience into words. But I find freedom in this realization, because these events that we can't explain are often the events that shape our faith and character. This week at Hume, I was challenged to use my heart, to let go of my mind and learn to feel the presence of the Lord. It was challenging for me to realize I can't comprehend everything. God called me to soften a heart of stone and truly incorporate God into my life. God gave me the ability to worship this week. I cried during songs, which was very foreign to me as someone who typically wouldn't even sing. Yes, worship did change me. It opened my heart and showed my mind a whole new world of faith. I have so many people to thank, leaders and friends, for some of the most important conversations of my life. It was challenging to give up understanding to God and change myself. Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." So how was camp? Camp was unexplainably life-changing.
Thank you, Emma. And with that, we will now play the video because I forgot it. Did you guys have a good summer? Good. We are so happy that you guys decided to join us for whatever reason and for whatever trip you went on. We hope and pray that God uses that not only as a camp high or a high for the summer, or a high to get you through winter camp, but he uses it as a launching pad that you can continue to grow into a deeper relationship with him each and every day. So we're going to invite the worship team to come on up, and we are going to close out our summer in worship. So guys, pray with me as we prepare our hearts for musical worship. God, thank you for just an incredible summer. Father, thank you for what you did at Beach Days, God, at the Hangout, Father, even 70 Skate Night. God, thank you just for the memories that were created this summer. God, thank you for Houseboats and LDR and Berkeley and Hume. God, we just ask that we don't use these as just trips, but God, that they are mile markers in our faith that we can look back on and say, this is when God took me deeper. This is when God changed my life and he called me out of darkness and into his light. This is when I put my full faith and trust in who Jesus is and what he did on the cross for us. God, I just ask that as we enter into this time of musical worship, God, we focus our mind's attention, our heart's affection on you, praising you for who you are and what you've done in our lives and what you will continue to do because of your goodness and love. We love you a lot. Amen.